Hello, welcome to another episode of the High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. Sal, yourself?
Awesome.
What do you got for us?
Well, today we have Brian Scheid with us. We're going to talk about farm safety.
Uh-oh.
But before we get into farm safety, the question of the day, this may be a hard one. What? Because I put parameters on this. What is the funniest farm or work accident or safety violation that you've witnessed or experienced, but let's say non-injury and no significant loss of property? Maybe there's a little loss of property, but no significant loss of property. So we'll keep it light.
You didn't say anything about I couldn't bring up dogs again.
No? Nope.
Still, no, yeah. No dogs for you, Brian.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah, no dogs.
Dog stories.
That's property or life. Yeah.
So I've got two. First one didn't involve – the second one I'm going to kind of tell on myself a little bit. But first one was actually driving by a group of people working on a house and actually had a skid loader with a bucket and had a ladder. So they had the bucket raised up and then a ladder inside the bucket.
Oh, boy.
Leaned up against the building. So that was a good one.
In a skid steer?
Yes.
What did he – did he crawl out of the, was there nobody in the skid steer, which means that he got out to go get?
There was nobody in the skid steer, so he probably got out.
Oh my gosh.
Climbed up the side of the skid steer.
Oh,
I don't know.
Under the bucket.
I didn't stick around.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a do not. So what's the next, what's your other one? You said you got two of them?
Yeah, the second one I tell myself, and I'll go back to 1991. So it was my first job out of college. I worked for a ag retailer southeast of Terre Haute. Well, one of my first jobs was going to spread lime was actually in Illinois off of Highway 1. So not too far in the state of Illinois on some reclaim ground. Of course, back then we didn't have GPS. The manager at the time just gave me a copy of a map and circled the field. I thought, well, the easiest way to get here is just go up 46, hit I-70, and go to Highway 1.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So.
You got on the interstate?
Yep, taking a floater across I-70. That was
That's, yeah.
At, so 30, then I, at 34 miles
yeah,
an 34, hour.
Yeah, 34, and we'll talk about SMVs later.
Yeah.
Slow-moving vehicles.
Oh, no. But
the other two guys were in another floater pulling the loader behind, and they wouldn't know why I beat them by 20 or 30 minutes.
Did nobody say anything?
They did when I got there. No one told me before I left, don't take Interstate 70 over to Highway 1 in Illinois. Just
I bet you were popular on the interstate, weren't you?
Oh, I'd say I about 21 years old, I didn't care. I thought I looked cool behind the wheel of that thing. So. Yeah.
Obviously, the troopers didn't catch you. So
No.
This is back before cell phones.
Yep.
That's good.
That would have been before cell phones.
Well, Jeff, you probably got the stories.
Yeah, I think we had a guy that worked for my family's retail plant when I was growing up, and we were all liquid. And this guy was a pretty big guy, and we were transferring something into like a nurse tank, and he said he could hold the hose, and we're like,
oh, no.
Yeah, so he's trying to fill it over the top, and so they fired it up, and I just remember anybody in proximity got a bath because he couldn't hold it, even as big a man as he was, and knocked him off the side of the nurse.
Oh,
wagon.
No.
Nobody got hurt, but it was like, okay, that's why we don't do that.
By the time you got the pump turned off, yeah, everything was all shiny.
Yeah. Well, and the guy on the pump, he knew that he couldn't hold it. It was kind of like, okay, we're going to have to prove our point. But the guy was soaked by the time he got done and just knocked off the wagon. Got a hose flipping around out there.
Did you get soaked?
I was standing back. I did get sprayed a little bit, but yeah, it was comical.
Jeez. Yeah. No, you can't hold this.
No, that's why we hook them up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why they have connections.
Yeah.
I'll tell on myself. I was a kid, probably fifth grade or something, or fourth or fifth grade. But it was over at my grandpa's, and we were back then. Nobody had semi trucks. You had those little giant gravity bed wagons to haul grain in, and so we were combining back there. And of course, we had to bring the wagons back through the woods and along a pond bank where the fill was, across the fill. and then back through the woods and down the hill. And anyway, they had the doubles hooked up. Well, I thought I was a pretty good tractor driver, and I was like, I can take these in. And had that the 1066, which was just, I felt like King Kong when I was up on top of that one, right? And the things we did as kids, I would never let a kid do today, right? But my dad, before I left with the wagons, said, don't cut it too short going around the pond. Okay. I was like, all right. Okay. Okay. Then my uncle yelled at me, make sure you don't cut it too short going around the pond. Got two little giant wagons back there. That's okay. I got it. Okay. I never knew what cut it too short meant.
You do now, though.
I do now. And so, yeah.
The old guys do know what they're talking about.
They do know what they're talking about. And so, got, of course, going on to the fill, and for first wagon was fine, but I cut it too short. And the second wagon, it didn't spill completely, but it just got off in there, and I stopped, not because I saw it, and I went back and got Dad. I was like, I think I cut it too short. And he got it out. He just spilled a little bit of corn in the pond, but he got it out without
fish
yeah,
food.
Yeah, the catfish appreciate.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they appreciated it. But that was my violation, where nobody was hurt too bad, except my pride as a young man. So,
oh yeah, because they don't want to admit that they know what they're talking about.
No, I'd hate to ask what that meant. Yeah. Well, Brian, we're going to talk about farm safety, and this is a topic. In the coming out of the spring of this year, of course, spring and fall, we have a lot of farm equipment on the roads, but just some of the things that farm safety topics for our listeners, the things, I guess there's two things. One is the people that are in the machinery, and then there's everybody else that's not in the machinery, and what should they know and be aware of. So just farm safety topics, maybe start with equipment safety and you know, as we're moving this equipment down the road, what's some things we ought to know about?
Well, I think, the number one cause of fatalities in the United States and in Indiana is rollovers.
Did not know that.
Yep. And, you know, every year we hear of somebody getting trapped underneath the tractor or rolling over, falling off, having the equipment run over them. So that's a big issue.
Bush hogging with the tricycle.
Yep. You know, and tractors by nature have... You know, even take our application equipment as well, even though some of them have wide, but tractors by nature have a narrow wheelbase compared to their center of gravity, you know, unless they're especially made. We see, you know, people out mowing roadside crews, they've got the big wide wheelbase tractors that they're using, but conventional ones that we have, like you say, some of the, even the tricycle ones that are out, you know, in these barns and things that farmers are using to mow roadside ditches, and lots of accidents from those.
And they happen so fast. I think probably every farm boy out there has experienced, you know, just how quick an accident happens, or something will happen, and you kind of get that wake-up call. It's like, well, I didn't get hurt that time, but that happened way faster than what I was expecting. And...
Well, and those roll cages are something that, you know, that don't try to make one of those at home. You know, I think we're all, you know, all of us that grew up on farms and around this industry are pretty handy, you know, making things and, you know, constructing stuff that, you know, don't try to make those themselves, because they're specified by the, you know, manufacturer to handle the weight, and we just can't design those ourselves.
I didn't know that the rollover was the number one. I did not know that, but it makes sense when you're bush hogging and you're on a pond bank or a ditch bank or something, and you're about as far as you want to go anyway, and then that's when you hit a hole or a ditch, and then you, like you said, it just happens so fast.
Yeah, that's where you get wheel spin, and all of a sudden it bites, and then when it does, it, you know, it's going somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and you don't know how soft it is in that shoulder, you know, or inside that ditch.
Yeah.
You know, if it's, so conditions can change really quick of what you can't see with tall grass and, you know, washouts within the ditch. And so there's,
yeah, you don't have to be on a bank. It'd just be a washout that's hidden in there. Yep. Or sinkholes.
Yeah. Tile holes. And
I think just in our area, Jeff, I think we've had two this spring.
Yeah.
Tractor rollovers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's a big problem.
So that's something to obviously rollover, those rollover cages, which all the new tractors come with those now, right?
Yeah, depending on the horsepower. Depending on the horsepower. Size of the tractor. Yeah.
And then the seat belts is something we'd never wear on a tractor, but.
No, but it's, you should. And we, you know, we talked about tile holes and washouts, and, you know, even talk about custom applicators or even, you know, farmers doing their own application. And we've got all the GPS and the auto steer and all this stuff. And you can, you know, do other things while you're applying, but you take your eyes off the field, and especially if you're in a no-till situation and you hit a washout or a sinkhole, and that can give you a heck of a headache if you're not strapped in.
Yeah. Other things about the tractors, I mean, obviously, we're on the farm. It's just the power takeoffs.
The biggest thing to say with power takeoffs, of course, we deal with, you think anything spinning, you know, gearboxes.
That's true. Yeah.
Air compressors have got the, you know, belts and wheels on them. You know, anything that's got something spinning, but PTO shafts, you know, make sure, you know, loose clothing is a no-no around PTOs, as well as. There's been a lot of instances of scalping, you know, along here with,
oh my gosh,
you know, getting PTO shafts. So make sure you're watching. And it's, Jeff, you kind of started on that a minute ago. Those things happen quick.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, you don't know that you're, or don't think you're close to them, and all of a sudden you're into them and it pulls you in.
Yep.
I think we had not ex-employee, but he's passed, a salesman at Old White River, that he had a run in with a PTO shaft, and
scary.
Well, it, I don't want to say on here, but it ripped his testicle off.
Okay.
Stepping over the PTO shaft.
Oh my gosh.
What you want to cut out or leave in, but yes, he went to step over a PTO and got caught in it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I think I just tell you, there's so many times that we get in a hurry, and instead of walking around, I just need to step over there real quick and do that. And like I said, it's just, next thing you know, something happens. I've had friends before that, you know, it's cool, it's in the fall and stuff, and they've got just that flannel shirt unbuttoned and hanging loose. And I know one friend that had got it caught in a PTO, and he said it ripped that shirt off of him so fast. He said he was, luckily it was an older shirt, so it was, you know, the threads were weak enough, I guess. And he said,
thank goodness it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a critical term that we talk about all the time in our industry, and any industry, is lockout, tagout. And so, you know, you talked about even though the people that might not be on the equipment, you know, when we talk about lockout, tagout, that's making sure that all the power is cut to that part that's going to move. I mean, it's just that simple. So, if you're working on a PTO, you're working on a bush hog, and you're changing blades, doing something like that, you know, making sure that the keys to the tractor are nowhere to be found but except yourself. I mean, it's just simple as that. And it could be working on just the tractor behind it. Somebody hops on it, starts it up, and goes to back it out of the shop and doesn't know you're underneath it. So,
wow. Yeah, those things like that you just don't think about.
Locking out the equipment, make sure that no one else can start it up or move it except the person working on it.
And that's, I know a guy that got, in just a few years ago, got ran over and killed by a fertilizer, basically as a big fertilizer spreader, buggy, pull type, and hired hand spreading. He was loading him, and the hired hand went to pull away and didn't know that he had stepped in. I don't know what he was doing, if he was adjusting something, but pulled away, ran over, didn't even know he did it until he came back. Oh, my goodness. So it's just all that kind of stuff. Just when you're working with somebody, you need to just look around, see where they're at before you take off. So,
yeah. Being in a skid steer always bothers me because it's so limited. A lot of
blind spots.
A lot of blind spots, and just backing up, and you're out there working, and there should be no one around you, but people don't realize they come up to piece of machinery like that that's moving, and they think you can see them, but you just can't.
Yeah, I think especially when you got little kids on a farm.
Oh, that's terrifying.
You know, they want to come see what you're doing.
Yeah,
you think they're in the house. It's just it scares you to death. You know, the thoughts, and like I said, there's a lot of blind spots, especially on a skid loader.
Yeah,
you can't see.
What about on the road? As we get this large equipment out on the road, I mean, what's some of the I know they've made a lot of improvements with lights. kind of the flashing lights now. Seems like all the new equipment has that. What else can we do on the road?
So I think the main thing is just being aware. I think everybody gets in such a hurry and tries to multitask as you're driving and just can't do that. You know, just always have to be aware of surroundings. You know, I think the critical, I with application equipment, in for other people that are following that application equipment, you need to, you know, stay back so that you can react to things that happen. Just because they're going slow doesn't mean that you can follow closer. You know, with that kind of equipment on the road, with, you know, heavy, large farm equipment or application equipment, you need to stay back so you have time to react to what they see and what they have, because the person behind you may not be. They might not be paying attention. Oh, I think there's some videos going around right now of people doing the challenges of driving underneath the Haggies.
Oh, no.
So I think that, unfortunately, I think TikTok has brought that phenomenon back. So,
oh, my.
You know, I think the other thing, and I saw this morning coming over, you know, equipment on the road, and they've got their flashers going, and that's great. But I think the non-ag public, they don't pay attention to when. So this guy was turning left off the highway. He's got his turn signal on. You know, the flashing light is showing that on the back of the rig. But, you know, there was a guy behind me that wanted to try to pass. And, you know, so I don't think they understand that they do have turn signals, but after they've been going down the road for a mile flashing, they're not paying attention to that. They're just like, okay, I've got a chance to pass. And this guy was going to turn left and there nothing happened. It was, you know, the guy came back in, you know, the equipment got pulled off and it was fine. But, yeah, there was a lot of equipment moving this morning on my way over. I saw a couple of hay binds coming up the hill.
I passed the same ones.
Yeah. They had quite a line of traffic behind him. And I'm just like, oh, see, you know, as soon as they get to a passing zone, everybody's going to be whipping out there. So,
and that is, you know, knock on wood. I haven't had or been aware of any this year, but usually a couple times a year, we'll have that same situation where somebody will go to pass an application, piece of application equipment that they've been behind for a long time, and they see the lights flashing, and all of a sudden, if they're turning left, the one on the right stays solid, and the one on the left stays flashing, and they're just not.
No, they don't pay attention to that.
Not paying attention to it.
Yeah. Or they see equipment coming, and you know, a lot of this equipment will move down the road pretty good, but cars will pull out in front of them, and you know, we had a spreader get hit earlier this year. I'm sure somebody was just like, well, I don't want to be behind him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so, you know, they pull out in front, they don't realize how quick they actually are moving. So,
well, for our applicators and farmers as well, you know, be sure to keep that SMV sign clear. They can get dusty and covered up pretty quick, especially as it early in the morning gets towards the evening that, it's all covered in dust. You really can't tell what it is, especially if, you know, they're meant to illuminate when lights hit it. So.
Yeah, even the daytime running lights, you know, kind of flash them up there a little bit. So, and the other thing we have is that it's kind of on-farm products is fertilizer. We got pesticides and fertilizers that we have. What should we make sure we're conscious of those?
Keep them locked up.
Keep them locked up.
Can't say that enough. You know, some of the things that we use are, you know, they are poisonous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kids can be curious. So even just for your own safety at home, make sure they're kept locked up and make sure they're in the proper container.
In the jug they came in.
In the jug they came in, because not only can that be a health hazard, you mean you'd hope that no one would pick up anything and drink out of it or do something like that. But, you know, most time that happens if, you know, take a Roundup jug and turn it into a water bottle after it's empty. but anyway, that most thing that happened with the container is that you pick up the wrong one and it goes on the wrong crop, wrong field. That's a big cause of crop claims is wrong product.
Yeah.
Wrong field. So make sure you keep them in the jug they're meant to be in.
Make sure they're labeled, make sure they're marked clearly and keep them secure. That's a good.
Yeah. Keep them locked up.
Yeah. A lot of times we just park the trucks out and around the farm and don't even think about access to the, I mean, the valves are all right there and everything's pretty easy to get to.
Yeah. And make sure we're reading the label. Make sure we're in the proper personal protective equipment. And there's some that most pesticides are, you know, your standard splash goggles and gloves. neoprene gloves, but there are a few of them that take respirators to be, if you're using an open system. I mean, the best example is Gramoxone. Gramoxone requires a respirator if you're using an open system. We all been around it. It's pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah. And they've changed a lot of that now into a closed system. Of course, the way we handle it, it goes right from bulk right through the into the loadout. There's a lot of things on the farm, a lot of things we never think about. Equipment, big equipment, excavators, dozers, tractors. And, you know, I tell the interns, you know, that's the first safety lecture I tell them is that, you know, there's a lot of big stuff that's running around these lots and, you know, don't ever assume they can see you.
Well, I think the key take home is everybody just needs to just slow down that extra minute it takes to do something safely here. So you're not laying in a hospital bed with a lot of free time on your hands all of a sudden. So it just takes an extra minute, some time to do it the right way.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of reading, you know, look at those key areas of the label.
Yeah. I do think our pesticide safety, that's been good. I mean, the farm safety, I think that gets covered every year. You know, for the most part, it seems like we get fairly good education on those things that have to have licenses. What we don't get education on is just on the equipment itself a lot of times, you know. And then you said read the manual or read the label. A lot of us don't read the manual when we get something. We get it, turn it on and go, right? So, but that's about all I got. Anything else on safety?
No, I just... you know, it's good reminders for everybody to stay safe out there because we don't want to hear about these accidents.
No. Everybody stay safe and take that little extra, just that couple minutes.
Yep.
Especially on the road, a lot of folks don't have any idea about farm equipment. They have no idea about what it is. All they know, it's in the way, and they want to get around it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of patience left anymore.
No.
Especially when it comes to driving.
And one thing I did want to mention, you know, we are into summer now and some of these grain bins are going to be getting empty and getting prepared for new crop this fall. Just grain bin safety is just at utmost. That's key. There's so many each year that have engulfment entrapment issues that we aren't entering grain bins that we shouldn't be. And that's basically, if you see product in there, you know, you've got to have a buddy and you've got to be tied off and you've got to be sure. There's just so many that you know, crest over and step in and get engulfed. So be sure to just take that little extra time to observe and evaluate the whole situation before you start to enter a grain bin.
Yep.
Good advice.
All right. Well, that's safety tips from some farm safety and find lots of resources online. And if you have any questions, you can call us or get hold of us at premierag.com.
Sure, we'd be glad to help.
All right. That's another episode of the High Ground powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much.